Good morning, everyone. Wonderful to be with you today. Who here loves to watch a movie? Only a third of the room. We love movies, don't we? We love movies where there is like a strong, confident character who lets their guard down a little bit, who maybe gives us a little glimmer into the layers beneath. Who here has seen The Sound of Music? Yes. Anyone hasn't seen The Sound of Music? Okay, there are a few. Again, recommend. In the clip we're going to watch, we've got Captain Von Trapp. So Captain Von Trapp is quite a stoic, strong, seemingly detached father. He was in the Navy, lost his first wife. Very withheld. He runs his house with order and a whistle to beckon his children. Can you imagine that? So in this scene we're about to watch, his children are singing a song to his fiancée. Previous to this scene, he had that exchange with Maria outside where it gets a bit heated and she sort of is calling him to be a bit more vulnerable or involved. The scene we're going to watch is where we see Captain Von Trapp let down his guard a little bit and connect with his kids in a really profound way. So Raj, we'll try that clip. Thanks.
Heart wants to beat like the wings of the birds that rise from the lake to the trees.
To the trees.
My heart wants to sigh like a chime that flies from a church on a breeze. To laugh like a brook when it trips and falls over stones on its way.
On its way.
Sing through the night like a lark who is learning to pray.
I go to the hills when my heart is lonely. I know I will hear what I've heard before.
Scene, isn't it? There's two things I notice in this scene. One is that almost decision moment before Captain Von Trapp walks into the room. He's standing there looking on as they're singing. You see him look down and maybe searching for the words to the song, or maybe making a decision as to whether he'll step in. And the next part that I noticed was that after he'd finished singing, there's a pause, there's a silence. He's just let down his guard a little bit, shown his kids this side of himself, and it's almost like, what's going to happen next? How's it landed? And we see him step forward. He lifts his hands a little bit of a smile, and then the kids and himself move in to greet each other. There's a connection made. The strong, stoic Captain Von Trapp letting down his guard to his children, and a moment of love and connection that brings them together. This is what we were made for, to connect with each other. A little bit of vulnerability, a little bit of sharing. This is what God built into the fabric of the world. He built vulnerability and weakness, and Jesus' life reflects some of that. So that's what we're going to look at today. The topic is living out of your weakness and vulnerability. Now, these are two words that we might not be drawn to. We might sometimes think of vulnerability like someone being in a vulnerable situation where they could be harmed or wounded, or maybe vulnerable to catching a cold. We use it in those sort of ways. But today I want us to think of vulnerability as letting down our guard, sharing a little bit of ourself or our story with someone else to make a connection. And the other word, weakness, is definitely a word we're not drawn to, right? We like strong, confident. We don't like weak. It makes it seem us seem little or unable. We avoid it and we cover it and we see it as a negative word. Yet, the upside down kingdom means that God invites weakness. God's way is different. God came to earth in Jesus, not in signs and wonders, but as a weak baby, a dependent, needy baby. We all know that pure baby, newborn smell, but also that vulnerability, that they are dependent and little. He lived as a refugee. He grew up in a small town in the back of the woods. Jesus didn't do any of his ministry until 30. And what he did do may seem small or insignificant. He related to one or two people sometimes, as well as crowds, but it was only within 3 years. He came in on a donkey into Jerusalem. It's Palm Sunday. He rode in on a donkey rather than a magnificent stallion like Alexander the Great. In some ways, there's many things a part of Jesus' life that reflected weakness or vulnerability. And so, today we're going to look at living out of vulnerability and weakness in our lives. So let's pray, and we're going to jump into three scenes near the end of Jesus' life where we see him in some vulnerable postures. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you that as we gather, we come before a Savior that has open arms. We don't have to have a stoic, held together, strong posture when we come to you in worship. We can come as we are, all that we are, and we come to your word today ready to receive and hear what you have to say. Amen. So, we're going to look at three scenes. The first one is the Last Supper, which we just participated in together. A meal, the last meal that Jesus had with his friends. He's sitting at a table and he says in Matthew 26:21, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were sad and began to say to each other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." What a vulnerable spot for Jesus to be in. He's having his last meal with his friends, sitting eye to eye, face to face, with someone that he knows has received money to hand him over to authorities. Can you imagine sitting at a table, and maybe you have, you sat at a table with someone who's wounded or harmed you, and how hard that is. Not only that, at the end of the passage, it said they sung a hymn. They probably sung about God's love, praising God. And Jesus did that in the room with someone who was going to hand him over. The King of Heaven was incredibly vulnerable in this moment. The second scene I want to take us to is the Garden of Gethsemane. Shortly after the meal, Jesus was in the garden. He grabbed a few mates. He said, "Stay close to me. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Matthew 26:39. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will or want, but as you will or want." Jesus is deeply human here. Deeply weak, deeply vulnerable, almost like a crisis point, coming before God saying, "If we can just avoid that cross thing, that would be great." He doesn't just pray that once either, he prays it three times. The translation from the Greek, the words "sorrowful" are translated to "deeply grieved." Jesus didn't try to numb his sorrow or grief at this point. He didn't keep his friends away and be like, "I'm just going to come over here and fall apart away from my followers." Jesus actually fell apart in a sense before his friends. It says he fell with his face to the ground. Usually people are falling to the ground at Jesus' feet to worship. This is the only time Jesus is falling to the ground in prayer, desperately vulnerable. Jesus didn't cover over his feelings of sorrow or being troubled. We might sometimes find that we do. We can try and cover over those ones, don't we? The troubled and sorrowful feelings. Yet Jesus allows himself to be in front, to be that in front of his team. We don't want to fall apart in front of people, yet Jesus allows himself to be overwhelmed and fall to the ground. Sometimes when there's a crisis, we might want to show a decisiveness and be like, yes, I'm going to face this head on, let's do this. But Jesus doesn't. He's utterly dependent on the Father in this moment. Your will, not mine. He fully expresses his vulnerability. And of course, this takes us to the cross. Jesus is on the cross, Matthew 27:46. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cries out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? We might have expected on the cross Jesus to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Here I go. From Psalm 23. But he didn't. He actually echoes Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Totally perceived, seeming to be weak and vulnerable in this moment. So Jesus was born as a baby. He rode in on a donkey. He ate dinner and sung with someone who had orchestrated his arrest. He felt sorrow in the garden. And now here, desperately crying out to God on a cross. Three scenes of Jesus, incredibly vulnerable and weak. Now you might be thinking, Laura, why are you sharing this? What's going to draw me to draw upon a Savior who shows vulnerability and weakness? We want strength. We want confidence. And yes, Jesus obviously does have the power of God in him. But I want to draw us today to these vulnerable moments because in the upside down kingdom of God, the weak and vulnerable are considered blessed. The last are considered first. God's strong power identifies with the weak and vulnerable. God's built brokenness and vulnerability into the world so that we are driven to draw near to him and he will lavishly pour his love out and strength upon us in our weakness. God sees it as a gift. We might see weakness and failure as a liability in our world, right? We do. When we see weakness in ourselves, we might see it as a shortcoming, but God sees it as a way that we can draw near to him. And it's kind of God seeks us in a posture of vulnerability in a sense. He's always chasing us and opening his hands out for us to receive him. That's quite a vulnerable stance too, isn't it? For us to choose and to give us some of the opportunity to step in the relationship. But vulnerability brings connection, and connection's what we're made for. And what we crave. The invitation of emotionally healthy discipleship is to integrate vulnerability into our lives as a lifestyle. Sometimes in our worst moments, our not so pretty moments, it's easy to blame, isn't it? It's easy to blame others, to blame a situation. Underneath blame, Brené Brown says, is a way to discharge pain and discomfort. She says that is why we blame. Actually, underneath blame is some pain and discomfort that we are feeling. And the more afraid we are, the more we blame. Yet Pete Scazzaro, who's written the Emotionally Healthy Discipleship course that we've been following, says we are saints and sinners at the same time. And there's an invitation for us where we may like to close down our weakness or blame it on others, is to embrace it, embrace all parts of who we are, knowing that God invites that too. This is how we come alive and make connections. So we start our life quite vulnerable and we end our life quite vulnerable, dependent and helpless in a way. In the middle, we feel like we're not as vulnerable, but we are. We're actually in places of vulnerability all the time, waiting on that call for the doctor about a test result, asking someone out, being let go of from a job, letting someone go from a job, maybe asking our partner to help us with something, maybe relying on someone else to care for us as we get older. The world is full of vulnerability and weak moments. We sometimes just try and hide from it. Even Princess Kate, some of you might have seen her share a video about her recent cancer journey. I was struck by how she was wearing a casual jumper, sitting on a park bench, delivering this message to the world. Taking a little step of vulnerability, inviting us into the weakness of her story and her life at the moment. And we know what that, for those of you who've seen it, you know what that does, doesn't it? You feel that connection. She's put that out and we receive it. To be vulnerable is to be alive. To not be is to be numb. When we try and numb the parts of us that are tricky and hard, like grief and fear and disappointment and shame, we're at risk of numbing out joy and gratitude and creativity and love. Brené Brown calls us and invites us to let ourselves be seen vulnerably, to embrace the parts of us we'd like to numb so that we can experience the good as well. We all have our specific weaknesses. We all have our area that is hard maybe to live with or bear. Every person, all of us have that one thing that would bring us to our knees before God. It might be scars from your past. It might be childhood patterns of relating to people. It might be a physical disability or illness. It could be emotional fragility. It could be a chronic temptation. It could be anger. It could be judgmentalism. Whatever it is for you and for me, we all have that one thing. And the real significant part of Jesus having all those vulnerable moments means that we also can come before him with our vulnerable moments, knowing that God is close to the brokenhearted, that we don't have to squash or numb out those things, but we can come to God with them to meet us and also bring them to each other in a relationship, to bring that part of us to our spouse or our family member or our friend or our trusted person so that we can be integrated people. We can embrace all of who we are. And why would we do that? Because it makes us come alive. Because we are living in the fullness of who we are, knowing that the God that we come to doesn't want us to have it successful and clear and straight, but is okay with the mess. This in turn helps us to build a church culture, which hopefully to the neighbourhood of Bayswater and any new people who come, that we are people who are integrated and living with our vulnerabilities and our weakness as well as our strengths and our positive side. So, what does this mean for us going from here? The invitation today is to think of that one thing, that one part of you that you feel is maybe a bit vulnerable, maybe a bit weak, and to bring it before Jesus and lay it at his feet today. Because God welcomes us to him. The offer today is to be a little bit more vulnerable with our spouse, a little bit more vulnerable with our friends, to share a little bit more of who we are, to form that connection and belonging. Because vulnerability fosters joy, creativity, belonging, and love. And we are also invited to have the courage to be imperfect, to embrace all of who we are, and to draw on the strength of Jesus in our weakness. My mother-in-law, actually, the other week I was having a particularly weak day, and she spoke this verse over me. And I think it was the first time that it really sunk into my spirit, that God's power is made perfect in my weakness. That actually God can do something with that weakness that I couldn't do on my own. So we're going to have a time available for prayer now. I'm wondering, Josh and Raj, if there's a YouTube song that might be able to be played as we finish together. And Becky and Simon are going to be up the front. You're welcome to come up now. They're available, and myself, here for prayer today. If you have an area of your life that you want to bring before the feet of Jesus, if you'd like to be prayed for in whatever is stirring for you at this moment, if your heart is beating a little bit, or if you're thinking, like, I do, but I don't really want to go down the front, it's a safe place here. You're welcome to come down the front or to draw the person next to you. I'm going to pray, and then during the song, feel free to just sit. Come before Jesus, our vulnerable Savior, who has compassion, strength, and will walk with us through our lives. And if you'd like to come down the front, Simon, Becky, and I will be here as well. Let's pray. Jesus, it is profound that you came to this world so dependent on a mother and father to raise you, whilst also dependent on your Heavenly Father. Jesus, when you were utterly vulnerable on the cross and in the garden, that shows us that we can also be vulnerable too before you. We thank you that you are not far from any one of us, but you are closer than our breath, and that your hands are always open to receive us, never condemning, never saying you have to have all the pieces fit together. If anything, you prefer it when we come when they're not, because you came for the sick and the lost and the broken. We thank you for this church community, and we pray that we may be a reflection of you to the world that integrates our weakness and vulnerability into the fiber of who we are, so that we can be people of hope and compassion and authentic before the world. And so I pray for each person in this room, including myself, as we come before you now with our whole selves, not hiding, not squashing down the not so nice parts. We thank you that you say your burden is easy. Your shoulders are big enough to carry us. And you have kindness and compassion for us. May we also extend that to others when they make a step to share their story or themselves with us. May we not laugh or make fun, but receive them in all that they are. So we thank you that you go with us now, that in our weakness, your power and strength uphold us, and that you reveal more of who God is to us. So we thank you. In your name we pray, amen.